comments have already been made on John chapter 5. I'd like to go there to begin. John's Gospel chapter 5. Here's a man that we find was a sinner. The Lord says, verse 14, chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the outer temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed, told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Chapter 7. I'm leaving out the stories, we know them, for the sake of time. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? And the people answered and said, Thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? And the response to that, verse 25, Then said some of them of Jesus, of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? So he's giving them evidence that he is the Christ. Going back to verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, referring to this man that was could not walk, and on the Sabbath day was told, take up your bed and walk. Knowing that he would pass by all of these Sabbath keepers that were keeping it not for the sake of appreciating Christ, appreciating God and his plan, the finished work of Christ, but rather as a means of acceptance with God, of salvation. So he's trying to reveal that to them that they have wrongly judged the situation. Did not Moses give you the law? Sorry, that's verse 19. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Not because it was of Moses, it predated Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, why? That the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me? Because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Chapter 9. A different situation. Not a sinner now. And the disciples are asking, why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or his parents? We've got to know why. Neither. Not saying that he was sinless, but it wasn't a specific sin and judgment for that brought this upon him. So the Lord responds. Verse 3, chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, just a little aside, we go through a lot of sufferings, but we have a God that's in control of all things. And there's nothing that is taking place that God is not intending to be for your blessing and others, whether eternally or now. Here's a man born blind. How many years in that state of blind? At least 30. He's able to speak for himself. and he's suffered all of this, he'll be in heaven. You read the story. Was it worth it? Yes. Every suffering we go through is worth it. And the Savior, our God, the creator of not only substance, but the ages, has it all planned out. And we're even significant in his plans. The Lord says, I must work. Verse 4, the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, anointed his eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. Go to the sent one. Referring to our Savior, isn't it? He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And there's all the discussion over it. But the problem was, it took place on the Sabbath. Was he right or wrong? Let's read over in Matthew chapter 12. I'm trying to condense. And some people, I don't know how many years ago, I mentioned some of these things here. And when I was here at the land. So I hope it's not. I'm just skimming over things. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and he began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. The Messiah, when he first sent them out to declare who he was, don't take anything, no purse, nothing. And whatever house you come to, let your peace be upon it. Receive what is needed right there. Now he's telling them, he's allowing them to, they're hungry. They're not being provided for. He's in rejection. The Messiah is in rejection. The king is in rejection. And so what does he say? They're plucking the ears of corn to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have you not read what David, the king, the righteous king in God's sight, did when he was hungered, in rejection, having to flee? What he did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests. Was it unlawful for David? There was a more paramount reason, law. This is my chosen anointed king, not to be destroyed. And so is the Savior, the anointed, the chosen of God, not to be destroyed, must be maintained. And what seemed to be unlawful, there was a paramount rule. Going back to John 7:21, the circumcision was prescribed before law came. It had to be fulfilled. It could take place 8 days after a birth. It would fall on the Sabbath at times. Do you do it? Or you say, wait tomorrow. It came first as a law. It must be fulfilled. It wasn't unlawful. Well, it was damaging, I forget the right word, it was making the Sabbath as if it were common, but it was to fulfill a superior demand by God. So he's saying, the superior demand is God's anointed chosen must be maintained, and was, and in this sense. So he gives that, but then he reads another, and this is related. Verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Can't emphasize this more. They are blameless, but they are profaning the Sabbath. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. What was he referring to? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, brought us to perfect redemption. What is he referring to every day? Turning over to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. So I was enjoying the thought that in Leviticus 23, we have the Sabbath also amongst these Feast of Jehovah, although it's not one of the seven. And yet it's there in that very chapter. It's mentioned. So I have a thought already, and I thought this was confirming that the Sabbath had to be something that would be fulfilled in Christ. And this is what I'm trying to bring out just at this little moment. Numbers 28, for time, verse 3, and thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which she shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt or ascending offering. And then it gives the stipulations, one in the morning, one in the evening. So what would you see there at the tabernacle, at the temple, there on the altar? Continuously, an ascending lamb, burnt offering, ascending to God. In the evening time, when it was kind of embers coming a bit, again, throughout the whole night, through the whole day, continuously. So now what about the Sabbath? Oh, of course they'll stop that because they got to rest, don't they? Verse 9. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, 2/10 deals of flour for a meal offering, mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offerings. So what was this a picture of? What are we thinking of when we're thinking of the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world? We're thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though God would not let them ever forget this Lamb of God, yes, we have the Passover, but it was to be continually before them. They have no standing before God apart from the Lamb of God, always on the altar, always before them. There is no Sabbath, as far as the work of Christ, it has to be done. It's not complete until John 19, verse 30. It is finished. So how is he Lord of the Sabbath? Going back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. But if ye know what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. When I see I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, again, I go back to Hebrews chapter 10. And sacrifices and offering for sin, he had no pleasure. He didn't want that. It was only, but a body hast thou prepared me, the fulfillment of it. So here we have fulfillment of rest. Hebrews has been mentioned. chapter 4. If you go chapter 3, you find that most of Israel that came out of the land, check it up in, I think it's Numbers chapter 26, they do the second numbering. We read the first numbering, the second numbering. Not one of them that was numbered in the first numbering was numbered in the second numbering. New birth in picture form. I know I'm bringing a little complication to some of people's way of viewing things, but it's new birth. Even in chapter 21, as we know so well, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's true gospel. Sorry, I may think of things a little bit different to you. I see gospel everywhere. I do preach the gospel, even though it's not usually in English. Hebrews chapter 4, and this was mentioned by someone. Maybe we should see. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They were not persuaded. The word there is persuaded, apatheo. Apatheo being persuaded, apatheo, not persuaded. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, David talks about this rest. Today, after so long a time, as it is written, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, that is Joshua, had given them rest, then would they not have afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest. This is the fulfillment in Christ. A rest, a keeping of Sabbath to the people of God. A true rest in the sense the work is finished. We rest in what he has accomplished at Calvary. For he hath entered, for he that hath entered into his rest, verse 10, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Therefore let us labor, or give diligence rather, therefore to enter into that rest. These people were not wanting to rest in Christ. They were wanting to go back to law. And he's saying, give diligence. See the truth of this matter. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in the finished work of Calvary. So the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one that has brought complete fulfillment to God's plan. It required work. So yes, there was the perfection of creation. There was sin that came into the world. And God, he says, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So he came to fulfill that work. It has been fulfilled at Calvary. Do we need to keep the Sabbath? I met this similar situation, a man that wanted to keep the Sabbath, and maybe that's why my heart went to these things. No, it has been fulfilled in Christ. It is one of the pictures that has been fulfilled in Christ, just as the Passover and the first fruits and the day of Pentecost. And continuing on, we'll see others that have been fulfilled. We are on no obligation to keep a single day. I'm not saying that we shouldn't rest once in a while. Of course, those that preach three or four times on Lord's Day don't usually consider it too much of a rest, but it is a rest of mind when we remember the Lord and have our thoughts in him and in the accomplishment of Calvary before our thoughts, and see, well, for these Sabbath people, he did not keep the Sabbath, but he was not guiltless. He was not guilty. He was without guilt. He came to fulfill it. And there's only rest. There's only rest in him, our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless a few thoughts to our heart. Amen.